Blog Talk Radio.
The beneficent, the merciful. I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and I bear witness that Muhammad is his messenger, and I bear witness that the humble Mr. Louis Farrakhan is our divine reminder, leader, teacher, and guide in our midst, and it is my distinct honor, privilege, and pleasure to greet you all in our greeting words of peace, as well as it being a very distinguished honor, privilege, and pleasure to present to you our host and Vice President of Nation Builders Movement, our dear brother Kareem Muhammad from St. Louis, Missouri. Assalamu alaikum, sir.
Wa alaikum salam, and indeed, all praise is due to Allah. And thank you, Queen Aziza, for that wonderful introduction. And as always, we begin in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, who came to us in the person of Master Farah Muhammad, to whom praise is indeed due forever. And in the name of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, the exalted Christ. And in the name of our divine reminder, in our midst, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, I greet everyone in the listening audience on the panel with the greeting words of peace of Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah, I'll be honest with you. I'm yet on fire from Sunday, you know, when Minister Akbar was on.
Absolutely.
And I mean, the point that we touched on, particularly in the things that we need to do as far as being Muslims. I mean, and this is, if we don't want to get off topic, and by the way, our topic tonight is, where two, and actually, I'll read the Bible passage, but more commonly when you hear it, individuals will hear, where two or more are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst. And I see, one moment, let me bring in another panelist. Assalamu alaikum. That's Omar.
Like, salam me?
Yes, ma'am.
Salam alaikum. I do apologize for being late.
Well, no, you're not late. Remember, we are all right in time. Anytime we are doing the will of Allah, anytime we are working to raise the consciousness of the people, anytime we are practicing the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and what Allah has given us in Quran, Bible, and whatever other scriptures one may study, we are right in time. What I was saying is that when Student Minister Akbar Muhammad, when he talked about the fact that as Muslims, you know, we definitely have to stop being divided by these labels and the sectarianism, because there's so much work that needs to be done. We got to participate. And even before we get started, I'm going to say this. Anybody that's on the line that does want to participate, please press 1 on your dial pad. However, we're going to get right into this because anybody that knows me knows I don't waste any time. Our topic tonight is, again, where two or more gathered in my name, and it says, there I am in the midst. And as the title says, where two or more gathered, the power of Allah, the power of God. But now to lay the foundation for our talk tonight. The first place I'm going to read from is the book of Matthew, chapter 18, verses 18 through 20, where it reads, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again, I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst. And then we're going to go to Matthew 21, and that's verses 18 through 22, where it reads, now in the morning, as he returned into the city, and this is talking about Jesus here, he hungered. And when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon but leaves only, and said unto it, let no fruit grow on thee henceforward forever. And presently the fig tree withered away. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, how soon is the fig tree withered away? Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if ye shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. And we have some other readings we're going to do. However, I want to get right into the questions. And I want to, again, thank Queen Aziza and also Sister Diatoma for being a part of this. I'm going to start with you, Queen Aziza. You there?
Yes, sir. I'm sorry. I had my phone on mute. Yes, sir. I'm here.
Yes, ma'am. I appreciate it. Thank you. The first question that I'm going to ask is, you know, with all the information we have, with the great teachers we have, like the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, Minister Akbar, and many other different teachers throughout the country. I mean, you got Professor Griffin going around spreading information. I mean, you got a lot of different people out here spreading good information. But with this going, and we've had these teachings, and we've had individuals like Mosiah Marcus Garvey, Noble Drew Ali, we had Dr. Martin Luther King. We had all these individuals among us. And yet here we are now, over, quote-unquote, 100 years up from slavery. And the question is this, with all that backing us up and all this education and degrees we got, at this date and time in 2013, why are we having so little success building a new world?
Well, I could say that the devil, so to speak, has made evil appear fair-seeming. And also, we have what I call Negroidism. We have a need to attach ourselves to white people because we feel that that is the, excuse me, the gateway or the doorway to equality. And so we long for their world. It's, you know, even as powerful and black and proud as we claim to be, we long for their world. If you look at back in the days of Dr. Martin Luther King, excuse me, he almost stated that, you know, he was into, well, he stated and then put it in the phrase of a question, was he said he felt that he was integrating his people into a burning house. So integration is the worst thing that has ever happened to us. And so when we follow certain people, when we attach ourselves to their ideas, it's not always the best thing. It may appear to be the best thing, but it's not always the best thing. And so we have been shaped and molded to believe that we are going to get equal rights. We got to fight, bleed, and die for so-called equal rights here in America. And once we get it, that is the prize. But that is not the prize. Because how are you going to call yourself righteous when you are dwelling among a community or a city or a nation of devils? So I agree with the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan when he said, no, you have to let the house burn. Because once fire touches something, it does not remain in its original state. So we have to burn the idea of integration. We have to burn the idea that whatever America has thrown before us that we think is so great about it, we have to burn that idea out of our minds. And we have to go into the mind of Allah. And we have to put our hearts and make our hearts the desire of what He desires for us. Because until we do that, we're going to always catch hell. That's just the bottom line. We're going to be catching hell until we close our eyes because our desire and Allah's desires are not lining up. And so if you're not aligned with the God, it's hard to be blessed. It's hard to accomplish anything because if you know that Allah is going to be victorious, then you could be unconsciously fighting against what His desire is. His desire is not for us to integrate with devils. His desire is for us to build a nation of righteous believers on our own. That's why the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said that we're going to have to do for self, and it is best that we do for self before we are forced to do for self. So now that hour is at hand, and now we are lost in the wilderness because we did not believe that when the Honorable Elijah Muhammad told us that these days would be upon us, we didn't believe him. But now everything he's ever said is coming to pass. And so here we are, Brother Kareem, struggling.
Ma'am, I was praying to you to a lot. Yes, ma'am, I agree with you 100%. 100%. All right. Sister Diatoma.
Yes, beloved brother.
Yes, ma'am. How are you this evening, sister?
Oh, praises due to Allah. Good to hear my sister and my brother's voice. I'm just living in the moment. Praise be to Allah. I'm enjoying myself. I'm happy today.
Oh, praises due to Allah. And I want to publicly on the earth congratulate you and your son on the news you shared with me. Before I get you into the question, I wanted you to share that good fortune.
Oh, yes, sir. Praise be to Allah. My son, he recently was paying for an audience of children, and one of the gentlemen came up to him, and he had asked me, well, he came out and he asked me, he said, is that your son? And they're playing. And I said, yes, it's my son. He plays the piano. He's been paying it since about 4 years old. Mind you, he does not read music. He does it all by ear. He's blessed. He's really blessed. And so the gentleman came up to me and asked me, he said, is that your son? I said, it is. And he said, oh, he plays really well. Who is his teacher and where does he play at? I said, well, he taught himself. He's self-taught. He learned how to play it. He's been playing since 4 years old. And at this current time, we don't play any engagements. But I am looking, by the will of God, to one day get him into Juilliard. So the gentleman said, well, I've been playing music for about 25 years. And I would love if you would let me send your son to Berkeley. And I kind of squirmish and said, Berkeley University? He said, yes. And I said, all praises. So I'm like, yeah, I would love that. And so he's going to take my son up into his wings, him and another gentleman. They're really prominent here in Memphis, Tennessee. They're going to take my son up, and they're going to put him up under his wings, and they're going to mentor and tutor him and take his skills to the next level. We are dealing with the new Beethoven here. He's really good. Go on, anybody listening, your audience, to go to my Facebook page, Diatoma Clarity, they can see my son play. He's excellent.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, precious to Allah.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, my goodness. Ma'am. What a blessing.
Yes, ma'am. A full scholarship. So I'm kind of, excited. Ooh. I love you.
Yeah. That's why we hear all that joy in her voice tonight. All praises due to Allah. Yes, ma'am. Oh, my goodness.
Surely,
so
out of difficulty. Surely, out of difficulty, there is ease. He said, surely there is ease. He said it twice in the Quran. I want to say this to your listening audience. If Allah is allowing difficulty in your life, it's because he's, like the minister said, it's the making of God. He allowed these things to come into our life to take away what he cannot use and put in us what he can use. My trials, difficulties, everything they are coming towards me, they're coming because God is trying to make within me and within my children God. This is a time to send saviors, and he's sending us. And he's using the believers first to go out in front of the people. So we have to be able to take much, because when our people come to us, and I can tell you, they're sick out here. They're sick. And so when they come to us, when that time comes, when everything just break out and hole out, excuse my French, hell, because it's at our doors right now, so it's about to come in. We the believers, the ones that have been in this fight, that's been going through what we're going through, because he's raising us to be, like the minister said, saviors, then he's taking us through the fire first. So that way, when the others come into the house, we can deal, because we already been through that fire. and then some. So all praises be to Allah for the fire because it's a purification, and I thank him for it every day more so. Now, I ain't going to say I ain't going to be blinding next week. But all praises be to Allah. I'm going to accept this ease this week, okay?
All praises be to Allah.
All
that's
praises
right.
be to Allah. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir.
All right. Well, and now to the question. It's the same question as you, the first question. You know,
yes,
with the same backdrop, same background, why are we having so little success building a new world, in your view?
What, so little success, you said?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to put it in the world, in the words of my son. He recently just wrote this thing, because it feels so good. He recently had said to me, and he writes a lot. I have him study the Messenger all the time, and he had recently wrote this passage, and he had said this passage to me about how sin, it feels so good. See, we are like babies, and when I say babies, you know how when you get a child a pacifier, at that minute, that moment, that pacifier, it satisfies them. It feels good. Even though they're not getting kind of substance from that pacifier, it is for the purpose of pacifying. Well, America has been pacifying the black man and black woman for about 400 plus years now, and that we enjoy our pacifier because it satisfies us for at that moment. Where here go a little money, here go a car, here go a bank account, here go a little $100,000 job, here go this. They're pacifying, but we are not free, so we're going and we're accepting this pacifier because we do not know how to be free. We never was taught to be free. So right now, God is saying, okay, no more pacifier. What happens when you take away a baby pacifier? They cry, they moan, they groan. They like, wait a minute, what you mean I can't have my pacifier anymore? And this baby ain't no baby no more. He's talking, fool, you know, still in Pampers, 3-4 years old, talking about somebody want my nookie. You know, so now we're those babies that a God has said, no more. I'm taking this pacifier up out of y'all mouth, and y'all going to have to do for self. You're going to have to go work for self. You're going to have to go build for self. You're going to have to go do it. We as a black man in America, man and woman in America, we're lazy because we're used to our pacifier. The white man providing our food, our clothes, our tissue, our soap, our deodorant, our this, our that. Everything is convenient. We can go to the store. We can go get it. It's right there. We never have to go out to a field to go work for it because we never taught how to do that. Our great 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 grandparents made soap. They made lard. I mean, in Africa they use, you know, the nature for your tissue. Go wipe you a little water, get it done, boom, that's it. You had to make do with what you have because nature was what we had. We was able to provide on a high quality level from what was out there in the world. But see, we were never taught that. From generation to generation to generation, we lost the wheel. How many of our great grandparents used to sew? Now look at the children nowadays. Now I can say a lot of the younger sisters are getting back into sewing, all praises due to Allah. But let's look at my generation and my mom's generation. How many people lost that particular skill in those, you know, two generations into the third generation? You know? So now God is saying, separate, do for self, get out there. Well, it's like taking away that pacifier. We're going to moan, we're going to cry, we're going to get upset, but the reality of it is we have to let that pacifier grow because if we do not, then we become rotten like the teeth in a baby's mouth. If they don't let that pacifier go, they're going to be rotten to the point where they're going to rotten within the gums. So then things behind that come, the teeth that comes behind that is going to be rotten, the grown-up teeth, the adult teeth. Well, we as adult, we have been rotten. Look at us. We have obesity due to all the wrong foods, fast foods. We're sick, high blood pressure, diabetes, obesity, you name it, we got it. So now everything is rotten, and then we're teaching our children, a baby, newborn baby, not even 1 year old, they see those golden arches. Hey, my, foot, five, foo, foo, eat, you know. So we have taught them how to be programmed. I'm going to say programmed, how to be programmed to this world's way of living. That is not of Allah. So now, again, Allah is taking away that pacifier. But when we wake up to the reality that we no longer have that pacifier, that pacifier no longer exists, then now we got to do for self. So that's where we at right now. The black men and women, everybody, not just the black men and women, everybody has to wake up and start doing for self, growing for self, living for self, and have true freedom. Even though at that minute, at that moment, it don't seem like it's a good thing you took away my pacifier because I'm used to that comfort, but it is. Because the pacifier is killing us, it's rotting us, and it's time for change. Praise be to Allah.
Man, all praise.
Yes, sir.
Yes, ma'am. You get that to teach.
Yes. Now, right in line, keeping in line with our subject, I'm going to share something from the mighty, or as the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan uses the term, the monumental book, the monumental work, Message to the Black Man by the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And this is in reference to what both of you have stated, but more specifically to you, Queen Aziza, when you talked about the fact of this is the end of this world. This is what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad states. This chapter is on page 266. It's entitled, The Breakup of the Old World. According to the changes of civilization by Allah and his messengers from Moses to this day, and the last messenger, the resurrection and return of the lost and found mentally dead members of the aboriginal people of the earth, the black nation, is now. Today we live at the end of the world of people who have ruled the black man and his various colors between black and white for the last 6,000 years. Hope everybody's listening to that statement. I'm going to say it again. Today we live at the end of the world of people who have ruled the black man and his various colors between black and white for the last 6,000 years. The world of disbelievers and hypocrites know these are the days and the end of the rule of the white man. I am referring to the rule of the people mentioned by Jesus, Allah, and the Holy Quran as being people who were created, grafted, so that they might be tried at ruling the righteous for the past 6,000 years. Their first 2,000 years were spent in the caves and hillsides of Europe, the only appointed continent of Allah for that people. They suffered divine chastisement for the first 2,000 years on this continent for their troublemaking and for causing war and bloodshed among the original black people, who had not suffered from wars, exploitation, and enslavement before the creation, grafting of this people by their father Yaqub. Today they have filled the earth with their wickedness, and there is 100% dissatisfaction against their continued rule over the nation's black people. Allah now has put it in the hearts of the original people to forsake them and to separate them from living to themselves as they did before the grafting of this race of people by Yaqub. We find it as hard to separate from them as it was 600 years after they were grafted from us. In those days, they fought back to remove them from among the righteous, the original black people of Arabia. And I'm going to stop right there with that reading. And we're going to move on to the second question. And I'm going to start with you, Sister Diatoma. Okay, what is meant, since our topic is, where two or more gathered in my name, or it's actually where two or more gathered, but the actual scripture reads, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst. What is meant by gathered in my name?
Well, I take it to mean when we are in accord, when we have one mind, when we're thinking on the same thought and the same wavelength, to get something accomplished, a goal. We're trying to reach a common goal. So if we're coming together or a gathering, we're coming together to fulfill a purpose or to fulfill a destined path. So as we're gathered together in the name of Allah, because anything we're supposed to do, that we take on
big, we're supposed to say in the name of Allah, if it be his or inshallah, or it be his will, in his name and in his will, may this be done. So to gather together in his name means we come into a oneness. I always tell people on my Facebook page, may we grow together into the oneness of Allah. Allah, when he created us to think with one mind, one heart, one soul, you know. And so something happened to make us think other than that oneness, that shaitan, again, that fire nature. When he tell Iblis in the Quran, he told all of the angels to submit, and all of them submitted to Adam except Iblis. He said, you created him of dust, which means he was humble. He was submissive. But you created me of fire, meaning I'm against. I'm better than him because I'm created with a haughty nature. So God said, okay, well then, since you feel that way, he said, some of you are enemies to others. He said, some of you are enemies to others. And since you feel that way, you're respited. You're rejected. He said, well, respite me into the day they are raised, into the day that we are raised back into one mind, one wavelength, one thought, and we're thinking on the same level. So when we gather together, like the 24 sciences and Shabazz, our beautiful father, he said, I want to make a man. He said, you can go make your man, but not here. He said, because 24 of us agree that it should not be made this way. But you of the one, you want to be haughty nature, you want to be of the jinn, you want to be against, you know, go ahead and make your man. See, Allah realized that there was something within, because I love when the minister talks about, when he recently just talked about in the time and what must be done about the making of the devil. Where did devil come from? Devil came from somewhere first within the righteous man in order for him to be manifested with the right man. See, and so you got to ask yourself, do you blame the clay or do you blame the potter? So Allah wanted to manifest a thing because he said he found within himself another being, another entity, which was that haughty nature, that fire nature. So now he's trying to bring us all back. He said, you will get all except for my purified one. Well, what is purification? What is that? Purify means to take out the dirty or the debris or the nasty things that does not exist or does not supposed to be there. So you got to go through a filtration system. It has to go through a process in order to remove that particular debris. Well, when we gather together, some people, and I don't know if you ever exhibited, but when we gather together, everybody got something to say. And everybody throwing out everything all at once. But nobody's really came with a foundation. There's no one listening. So now we're at that time where we have to listen to each other and come together in a common cause to be able to say, hey, we're in oneness. We're in oneness with Allah. We're going to do this, and this is what's going to happen. So it's thinking with Allah. So in his name, we're coming together by being submissive, by humbling, by praying, by being of that once in the dust, by being humble. Everyone, the minister says it best when he said, everyone have something to say, and we all got something to say. But we cannot be, well, my idea is the best idea. We have to be humble and listen to each other and know that each other is there for a purpose. We are our gods. He said, ye are all gods, children of the Most High gods. So we have to stop envying one another. We have to stop being jealous of one another, and we got to be humble. We got to come together and know that Allah is moving us as a one body, as one entity. See, the head, even though it's the head, without the neck, it's nothing. Without the body, it's nothing. Without the arms, I mean, it can move, but, you know, you can't lift nothing, you can't move nothing, you can't pick up anything, so who's going to do the labor? Without the legs, you can't move around, so now you're just hollering out, hey, get that, get that, get that. But you're not moving. You're not producing either. So So it's all. We need all. Arm, leg, leg, arm, head, Allah. So, you know, gathering in his name, in his oneness, is understanding that as a collective body, we can do more than we can do alone. All praises due to Allah.
Yes, ma'am, absolutely. All praises are indeed due to Allah.
Oh,
and Queen
Latifah.
Yes, sir.
Yes, ma'am. All praises due to Allah. And, of course, it's the same question to you. And then after that, we're going to, you know, as they say, clear some words.
Yes, sir. Well, when I hear that phrase, which is where two or more gather in my name, mm-hmm. it's very specific to me because we can get together for a whole lot of things. You know, we can get together to shoot the breeze. We can get together to hang out. We can get together to party. We can get together to fight, you know. But when we say when two or three are gathered in my name, well, that empowers the meeting. That means, like the sister said, we on one accord. You know, but our hearts and our minds have the best intentions, and we are asking for Allah to include himself. You know, even though he said, I'll be there in the midst, but he's not going to be in the midst of foolishness. So when you gather in the name of Allah, you have to pray that whatever the purpose of the meeting is, that it is successful, that Allah is blessing that meeting bears fruit, that meeting of the minds will build something solid and something pleasing to Allah. A lot of us meet, but we don't meet about anything, you know, or we meet and it's nothing fruitful about our meeting. We're not going forward. We're not multiplying. So when we say we are gathered in his name, we're asking Allah to bless our efforts, to give us knowledge, to give us strength, to give us, you know, wisdom, to give us understanding, to bring whatever we're talking about into fruition. And when we gather in his name, we need to be gathering for all of the right reasons, not selfish reasons, not hateful reasons, but for righteous reasons. We're gathering, praying that what we are gathering for is pleasing to Allah and that he will be in the midst. And then whatever we're talking about, we are going to be blessed in our efforts. So that's what it means to me, Brother Kareem.
Yes, ma'am. All praise is due to Allah. Absolutely. This is on point. And again, I want to remind our listening audience, if you are on the phone, you have a comment or a question, please press 1 on your dial pad. Join the conversation. If you're in the chat room, please just type in your question, and we will most definitely answer it. So do we have anybody in Google or Yahoo chat at all? Asking any questions?
Yeah, but you don't want these questions. I'm cussing them out at the moment. Just go ahead. I'm cussing them out in Arabic.
Yes, ma'am. That's fine.
Okay. No, I'm just joking. But let me just say this. You know, I can't speak for Brother Kareem, but I will say this. You know, I appreciate your efforts for those of you who try to throw us off track or take us off the subject matter. You know, we do have a group on Facebook called Defenders of Farrakhan. So those of you who want to speak ill about our minister, you know, you're welcome to go on Facebook and ask Defenders of Farrakhan to address your issues. However, that's not this show tonight. But thank you for your efforts. I appreciate it. Assalamu alaikum. I just want to say that, Brother Kareem.
Wa alaikum salam. Yes, ma'am. I mean, that's absolutely correct. No, we're not going to be drawn off track because anybody mm-hmm. that is listening to the broadcast, that is listening to the program, understand that this is Conscious Black Nation. I mean, you are entitled to whatever opinion or view you choose to have. However, when we come together in this forum on Monday nights, we are coming together to address issues that are literally threatening the very survival of us mm-hmm. as a people and the planet itself. So what we want to do is address those issues, identify them correctly, and then provide practical solutions that people can implement in their everyday lives to be better people and to live a better life. We're not here to argue your opinion about the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan or any other servant of Allah. See, because if you really understand, we're all servants of Allah. Even devil, even
that's
the
right.
wicked, are
Peace.
Servants of Almighty God. It's just based upon your perception and your understanding.
Yes.
When you have the correct perception and the correct understanding, this is why it says in the Bible. Note the words. All things. It didn't say something. It said all things work together for the good. For those who love the Lord, comma, and are called according to his purpose. So think over that one. And now we're going to clear some words. You know, like I say, my mother always, she sent me to the dictionary constantly. Our topic tonight is where two or more are gathered in my name. The word gather is defined as to bring together, harvest, to serve as an attraction for, to prepare, to gain or regain control of. Grow or increase, from the German gadrin, to unite, which is, comes from the word good, which comes from the Sanskrit gadya, what one clings to. And as we've discussed before, Sanskrit is one of the most ancient languages on the planet. The word name is defined as a word or phrase that constitutes the distinctive designation of a person or thing, a word or symbol used in logic to designate an entity, from family or clan, from the Latin nomen, and the Latin word nomen has the same root as the word nature, which is defined as the inherent character or basic constitution of a person or thing, an inner force or the sum of such forces in an individual, natural condition, from the Latin natura, to be born, from the Latin natio or nation, birth. So in essence, when we say where two or more are gathered in my name, and this is God talking now. So when he says his name, your name describes what your nature is. It describes you at your core. So when the scripture says where two or more are gathered in my name, it means exactly what both my sisters have been saying, where two or more are gathered in the nature of God. And what is the nature of God? The nature of God at its core is that when God says to something, be, it is. It comes into existence. The very nature of God is that there's nothing that he calls into existence that doesn't, there's nothing he says that doesn't happen. Or I'll say that he or she says, okay, because I know people, they get tied up in there, well, you just said he, what about she? When we understand that God is both the feminine and the masculine in balance, then there's no argument over that. You can say he or she. However, we say he because in English, he represents the masculine and the masculine in that sense. We're not talking about chauvinism, but masculine in that sense, meaning the source from which it comes. However, you can't create without the feminine. So let's be clear on that. Now, having shared that information, I want to move on to the third question. And Queen Aziza, I'm going to bring it to you first.
Oh, my Lord. Okay. Yes, sir.
All right. Our third question is this. Now, you know, the subject that we've gone over, you know, because we just got the reading where the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said that in this time that we live in, that this is, and I'm going to capitalize it, this is the end of the rule of the white man. This is the end of the rule of the Caucasian. Over, he said, the black nation in all its various colors from black to white. So, since he said that, here's the question. How can people from different religious, socioeconomic, and family backgrounds agree? And the reason I use the term agree now is because it says, again, in that same scripture, well, let me just go to it. That's going to make it easier. In the same scripture where it talks about it, it says that, verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. So in that light, again, I ask the question, how can people from different religious, socioeconomic, and family backgrounds agree?
Well, if we're in the hells of North America, we are bound by circumstance. And, it, you know, it doesn't matter where we come from or the color of our hues, the different hues that we as all of the original people have. We have to first get the understanding that we are one people. That's the first thing, because without knowledge of self, you are forever lost. The second thing is that if you are of any darker race, if you are anything other than Caucasian, we are bound by circumstance. We're not going to always agree. We're not going to agree on religion. We're not going to agree on diet. We're not going to agree on culture. We're not going to agree on a lot of things. But we can agree on the actual facts of how we have been deprived, how we have suffered here in America. And once we actually see America for what it is, the United Snakes of America, then we can pool our resources and come together and create a mighty nation for ourselves. I mean, we often speak to the problems in the black community, and that's what I'm going to speak to because I'm black. The things that happen in the black community affect me first. It's not the only thing that affects me, but it affects me first because I'm black. But we have many, many people who have been wronged by the government of America. Of course, we have what we call the Native Americans, Indians, our other indigenous people. You know, we have the Asian people, Haitian people, African people. Everyone of color has been a victim of this government. And even if you're here now, if you live anywhere outside of the United States, maybe with the exception of Canada, America has invaded your land, your homeland. So when we see that this government has no love for the darker people of this planet, and we see how they try to manipulate government to fit their needs, to fit their agenda, and leave poor people to die, to suffer, to be without the basic necessities of life because America's heart is so cold, they don't care. This is a money hungry, greedy no love, no heart country. And the only thing that matters to America is the money. The people can suffer, bleed, and die. They don't care. So when we look at the current economic status of a lot of our people, and poor whites too, because if you're white and you're poor, you might as well call yourself a nigger, because that's how the government looks at you. So when we can come together and see that we have more in common than we differ, then I think we can get a broader understanding, pool our resources, and do something for ourselves and for one another. We have to realize that we, the original people of the planet, we are the majority. White people took the title, but what is actual fact? You have more original people than you have Caucasian people. But we have given up our power, and we have been manipulated into doing so. That is what binds us, that situation in itself, that America has misled, has lied, has abused everybody, leaving no one untouched. So once we see the true big picture, we'll come together, and in a few days, we're not going to have a choice. I feel like them.
Wow, Lickum Salam. Yes, ma'am. Absolutely, thank you. Sister Diatoma.
Yes, sir.
All right. It's the same question to you. Do you need for me to repeat it, or?
Yes, sir.
Okay, yes, well, the question is this. How can people from different religious, socioeconomic, and family backgrounds agree? And like I say, when I say agree, I'm talking about in the sense that the scripture's talking about, that we want to agree on a subject in such a way that we call it into it, we actually call it to be, we bring it into existence.
Oh, yes, sir. Praise be to Allah. Well, when a person is hungry, you don't care what color he is. If he got some food, you're going to want to eat. So we're going to agree on that. We're going to agree because we're going to be so despised. It's going to be to the point where there's nothing to eat. It's going to be to the point where there's nowhere to lay our head. We're going to agree because God's going to push us so far down in order just to bring us all the way up. So, like I said, when a person is hungry, I guarantee you he's going to agree. Because, see, where we make a mistake at is there's only one God. I don't care what you call him by, what name you want to give him, how many names he have, there's one God, there's one creator. And when we come into understanding that there is no God but Allah, I don't care what name you call him by, Yahweh, God, Jehovah, whatever name, there's one God. And so he's going to push us to the point where only thing we can do is depend on him and him alone. So the agreeance is going to come either whether we want it or not. It's inevitable. He said every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that I am Lord and I am God. So whether we want to or not, we are in that time. And we're about to enter a worser time than what we're seeing now. People have literally lost their minds. I mean, you see young girls, ladies, women, out in some of the most craziest things. You know, you ask yourself, did she look at herself in the mirror before she decided to come out with that on? You look at the boys, and they literally turn to girls. And you look at the girls, and they literally turn to boys. And the Bible speaks about girls wearing boy clothes and boys wearing girl clothes. It's an outright sin. So now the whole earth is doing outright sin. And they're saying, hey, you better do this. You better let us in. Well, didn't that happen to Lot when the righteous men visited his home? And they tried to have sex with the angels, the men. God destroyed it with fire. He burnt it up. So we are at that time, that damn time, where God's going to say, enough is enough. This is gone. I'm done. I've been screaming. And if people don't see that the minister is screaming for us to get it together, then we are just, we are like the people in the day of Noah, like, no, are you crazy? Building an ark in the middle of the desert. You're building a boat. Are you crazy? It's a boat, Noah. Seriously? You're going to build a boat in the middle of this desert? Noah said, well, I know what my God told me. He told me build this ark, and I'm going to keep building. Well, right now the ark is being built. And whether we want to accept it or not, we're not going to have any choice because the flood is coming. And this time, like he said, it will not be with water but with fire. And what does fire do? It purifies. He's going to break us down to our lowest state. We're going to come together because when we hungry and our babies is dying by the thousands, we ain't going to have no choice but to work together. It's one unit, one mind, one heart, one thought. All praise is due to Allah.
Yes, ma'am. Absolutely. That's right. Well, now, in line with our topic, you notice I'm going to share from the Holy Quran Sharif, Maulana Muhammad Ali translation. This is Surah 2, or Chapter 2, entitled The Cow, or The Heifer, depending upon which translation you're in. And it reads, actually, A'udhu billahi min shaitanir rajim, we seek refuge in Allah, God, against the accursed shaitan or Satan. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. And it reads, I, Allah, am the best knower. This book, there is no doubt in it, is a guide to those who keep their duty, who believe in the unseen and keep up prayer and spend out of what we have given them, and who believe in that which has been revealed to thee and that which was revealed before thee, and of the hereafter, they are sure. Now, that having been said, exactly on the subject that we're talking about, where two or more are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst. Let me say this. I want to lay this out before I go to the next question. So what we're talking about here is people, a group of people coming together with, number one, a common issue or a common problem that needs to be solved. That's number one. So we're gathering together. We're coming together. As it describes gathering, to bring together. So we've been brought together by these particular circumstances. So that's already taken place. But now the qualification there is to be gathered together in His or God's name, meaning God's nature. Now, we want to deal with what is the nature of God. The nature of God is righteousness. Well, I mean, these can sound like cliches. What do you mean the nature of God is righteousness? It's real simple. I'm going to treat you like I desire to be treated. When we say that the nature of God is righteousness, when we say that, what we're talking about is the fact that when God, when the creator of the heavens and the earth does what he does in nature, he provides oxygen equally to everyone, and we need oxygen to live. He provides for everything in creation that which it needs. He also provides for everything in creation justice. And when I say justice, or when we say justice, what we mean is just do. Based upon our actions, based upon what we do. For example, animals in nature operate out of instinct. They don't have what we would consider a higher reasoning power. They do reason, but not the type of reasoning we do. I mean, they'll be presented with a situation, and based upon past experience, they choose to go one direction or another. We as human beings, however, quote-unquote, and I'm using that word human being loosely now. We as human beings can go through a situation that has been totally horrific and totally harmful to us, and we will choose to go to take that same action again and experience those same results and continue to do that over and over again. Whereas an animal in nature, once, for example, it experiences fire, getting burnt, I guarantee you that animal's not going to go back and do that again. However, we, as supposedly the highest form of life on the planet, will get burned. And for some strange reason, at some place I read they call it a peculiar mental twist. Other places they call it an engram. We will go back and do that same thing, full well knowing what the consequences are. But I don't want to get off track. So I'm going to, since I have you, Sister Diatoma.
Sorry, I'm here. I'm on.
I know. Right. That's what we do. We mute and come back. That's no problem. This question is this. Now, it states in the Bible, in the book of John, it makes this statement. It begins like this, John 1:1. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Now, with that statement and knowing what our topic is, what does that particular scripture mean in your view, and how does it relate to our topic?
Ask him for this. When one speaks a word, especially nowadays, you know, words are powerful. Words, depending on how you say them, words causes actions. They cause reactions. So if the word was God, then what was being spoke had an authority, because God is authority. We know that he's an authority. So what was being spoken had an authority, so what was said was firm, or, you know, it had to take root. It had, because it was when I say authority, I mean that you had to abide by it. It was law. So bringing it to the topic, to a more gather in my name, and I was reading this, and that's why I kind of got off a little bit. I'm going to read a little bit with this, and maybe it kind of like bridge it together. It said, the truth of God's character is focused in his name. The divine name reveals God's power, authority, and holiness. This accounts for Israel's great reverence for God's name. The Ten Commandments prohibited the violation of God's name. Prophets spoke with authority when they uttered God's name. Oaths taken in God's name were considered binding, and battles fought in the name of God were victorious. Other nations would fear Israel not because it was a mighty nation, but because it rallied under the Lord's name. In the New Testament, God's name is manifested most clearly in Jesus Christ. He is called the Word, as you just read, John 1:1. And Jesus himself makes the claim that he has revealed the name of God, which is John 17:6. God's name is his promise to dwell with his people. So we're given this name. And this particular name that we give is basically God's way of saying, I'm with you through my name, my word, or my existence is with you through my name and my word. So when two or more are gathered in his name, he is telling us that I'm with you. I'm giving you the authority or to be the Khalifa in my absence. I'm going to give you everything I promise you, only if you do it in my name or do it with my name, because I've given you that law. So when we come together
in his name. We are coming together by his authority, his permission, and by his law that he said that he promised us that he's going to set us on top, bring us out of the wilderness of North America. I'm not going to get deep into, because I'm not trying to go into supreme wisdom, but I don't really want to go into that. I want to, you know, just keeping on the subject. I don't want to go real deep into supreme wisdom. I just want to go deep into just saying that when we gather in his name, that means we are gathering under his authority to bring about the law that he said he was going to, that he said that he was going to bring about and that he promised. So we're gathering under his rule, his law. All praise is due to Allah. And in case anybody wanted to know where I got that reading from, it's from the Holman Bible Dictionary. Okay, so all praise is due to Allah.
Yes, ma'am. All praise is due to Allah. All right. I see someone with their hand up, so we're going to go to the phones. Area code 203. Your mic is live.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
This is Brother Chris Muhammad, and I just wanted to stop in and say that you are doing a wonderful, wonderful work. And I wanted to give everyone the greeting because it has been a long time since I've been on this show.
Yes, it has. And I'm sorry, my phone was on mute. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Chris. I love you.
And we love you more, dear sister.
Yes, sir.
So I just stopped by to give everyone the greeting. I love your topic. I listen very often. And it's very inspiring to me, in particular to this topic that you had.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, we appreciate you, brother. I mean, you know, and I appreciate the fact that you do listen, but I don't want you to be no stranger because, you know, again, where two or more are gathered in his name, there he is in the midst. So we also love hearing from Allah in you too, brother.
Indeed so, dear brother. You know, if I may, you know, I was listening to the talk about what must be done, and it brought to my mind about what the Most High Elijah Muhammad said in message to the black man about building our own society. You know, one of the major problems that I can see personally is that a lot of us don't know how to relate properly when we do get together. We're going through so much economically that, you know, we don't have the trust factor there. But if we trust in Allah more then we trust in one another, Allah builds trust in ourselves that others can see that example. You know, I was chatting with someone who told me I don't wanna be disrespectful, but I don't like buying black. And I said to myself, I said, you don't like buying black, but you buy something from Walmart that came from China.
Come on.
And don't understand, you know, what the real value of what you buying is. You might be buying something for $25 that costs $250.
What you said.
You know.
Come on.
So when Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad said that we must speak of the time and what must be done, that's a heavy statement.
Come on.
He said that he wasn't referring to a solar system. Referring to a time of a people whose existence and rule of our people had come to an end. We are living in a time like no other. This is the changing of the God. Look at those who are in power over this world, the big corporations. That's you.
Come on, Brother Chris. Mm-hmm.
That's you, if you would understand. He said, study the white man.
That's right. Well, he is.
Why? Because he's been successful at the business that he does. He knows how to take a product and put it on TV and make you love it. In fact, some of us begin to sing the song, I'm loving it, when they see the McDonald's commercial. And they ain't giving you nothing. What if you really love? You know, Public Enemy had a song said, don't believe the hype.
Yes,
how many of us are believing the hype of this world? More than the truth.
Yes, sir.
More than the truth that we have to do for self. I know I see many people on Facebook who are doing businesses, who have their graphic design businesses, their radio shows, their jewelry businesses, their music businesses. And some of us with our rusty behinds can't even hit the like button or say, where can I buy that?
What you said.
No.
Or how can I get in touch with you to get you to do my website?
Come on.
And I just have to say this right quick, Brother Chris. Brother Chris is the designer of the Nation Building Movement logo. Just want you to know.
I thank you for that opportunity. And a lot of people don't know, but I've been making my rounds around this country daily and with brothers and sisters and helping them to design their websites and cultivate their businesses, and that's the role we got to play. You know, I was watching a video from Minister Farrakhan just last night called "The Harvest Is Ripe, But the Laborers Are Few," and he mentioned about how his daughter saw a drunkard laying on the side of the road, and she went over to the drunkard, and she looked him square in the eye and began to tell him who he really was. And when she did that, the liquor began to wear off. And he began to realize, somebody cares for me.
Hey, come on.
That's right.
The problem is, we don't care, if we don't care enough to let our own people know that we care, who's going to do it? Who's going to do it? I get calls every day from brothers and sisters who are going through so much.
Mm. Come on.
I mean, I got a brother who called me up and told me his family is sleeping on a rooftop.
Come on.
My wife looked at me and she said, find a way to get him here if he want to come. And I reached out to him to open up my door, and he wouldn't do it. But Allah is God.
Yes,
Allah is God. And I respect him for saying that. But this is the type of spirit we have to have. We cannot keep going on in this life, in this time, saying that or thinking we're in the hereafter, and we don't get rid of the things that will keep us out of the hereafter. The hereafter comes when the Satan itself is destroyed.
Come on.
Come on.
So we have to get rid of the devil within self. I mean, we know what Yaqub's graph the devil can do. We're witnessing it all around the world, in the food, overseas, in Syria. We're seeing the masquerading efforts of Satan in every way. But what are we doing with ourselves and our own family? Why are we lying to ourselves when the truth is present? the Christ today. The Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad gave us what will ensure us success, but if we don't practice what we preach, we won't see it in our daily lives. You know, I'm a businessman, and I know that if I don't really know the business that I'm in, then I won't make a dollar.
What you said.
I won't make a dime. I'll be sitting here on the phone somewhere talking to somebody about what I can do. You know, my wife's father told me about 13 or 14 years ago, he said, look here, man, don't come around me telling me what you want to do or what you want to do with my daughter or what you think you're going to do. Go on and do it.
Come on.
I shut my mouth. I looked at him. I said, yes, sir. And next thing I know, we had a house and we had a car. And I looked back at him and he just smiled. He said, that's what I'm talking about. So, you know, I just want to say this, you know, with two or more gathered, God is present. God is present when we get in tune with the one. And this is what atonement is all about. Being in tune with the one God of our own nature and creation. We can't be at one with each other if we are not at one with God. And what a magnificent God this is to show up in America himself.
Come on.
Folks say, what are you talking about? God showed up. Yeah, he showed up. He showed up in the person of a well-made man.
Come on.
Why? Why would he do that? Well, after 400 years of slavery, we needed somebody who can speak our language. After 6,000 years, we needed somebody that would appear to us in a form that we can relate to. And after being a slave, we love white folks so much that he came in the flesh and they appeared to be as that. But he wasn't that at all. He raised up the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, a little man from Sandersville, Georgia, one who we could not deny, and breathed into him a life that would keep giving life if we all but understood. You know, I'll leave you with this word from the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. He said, according to the teachings of Allah, this is the first and the last time we will ever have a troublemaking people on our planet.
Come on.
There is no doubt about it. We who were brought here to the Western Hemisphere by the white slave masters of our fathers can bear witness that this is the most evil people that have ever been on the planet. So today, the wickedness of this civilization has become so great and fast seeming to the original people of the earth. He said that the 12 leaders from Islam from all over the planet earth have conferred in the root of civilization at Mecca and have found that this people is disagreeable to live with in peace, and they have decided that they must be removed from the planet Earth. What does that mean for the black man and woman? Well, that means that what we learn from them in this so-called civilization is not going to bring us to any hereafter. It's over. This is it. Stop looking for them to reach into our lives and save us from the destruction of this world, because they're on the way out
And anybody with that type of education is on the way out too. So I greet you as I came in. I will not be a stranger anymore. I promise you that I will stop in again and show my love. Thank you.
Oh, praise is due to Allah.
Yes,
sir. Yes, sir.
Yes, thank you, my brother. Absolutely. I'm sorry, I get long-winded sometimes.
All right, that's all right. We love you, Brother Chris. We know you're going to teach hard when you come, bruh.
Yes, ma'am. That's right.
All
but
praises to Allah.
I'd like to answer it.
Yes, sir. Go right ahead, bro. The question is this. What does John 1:1, which reads, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God," what does it mean, and how does it relate to our topic, which is where two or more gathered in my name?
Well, from my opinion, dear brother, and this is only my opinion.
Yes, sir.
You know, words give us the voice to speak. And the word of God is truth. So if you don't have the words to say to one another, it's hard to win them into the idea that you have. You know, there was a time where I sat and told my wife that Allah took my voice from me, but one day he would give it back even stronger. And she didn't understand what I was saying. But now I looked at her and I said, my voice came to me through study of the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. He gives us the voice through the words we learn from and apply to whatever we do. So when I meet you in the street, you say, "Assalamu alaikum, brother." I say, "Well, alaikum salam." And then a topic comes up, such as with two or more gathered, God is present. And you say to me, "Well, brother, what kind of business do you do?" And then I go into it. See, it's what I know, that I can go into what I'm saying to you. So here we are in 2013, in a society where 85% of us are functional but illiterate. What do I mean? Well, we got children graduating high school, then they're going on to college. But why do you go to college after you go to high school and get your degree and then end up working at Walmart with a bachelor's degree on the register? What happened? How did that happen? How do you go and get this world's education and end up with a $2 job?
Come on.
It's because this world's education is only geared to get you to work for them according to their exception of you.
That's right.
They don't teach you how to apply what you're learning in the Word. When you learn how to apply the Word to benefit yourself, you begin to enjoy the fruits of your labor. Look, here's an example. Why are so many independent businesses popping up now? Some folks going into cleaning services, and next thing you know, he done left his job and took a little bit of money and has a new van that he's going around and cleaning folks' homes up now. How did he do that? Did someone just give it to him? No. He began to study what he learned. And this is,
the Honorable Minister looks back and said, you know, if we looked at our own bodies, we would understand the business of economics. When you eat your food, it goes into your digestive system, and then the nutrients go throughout your body, and then you go to, when it's time, you have to go to the waste station in the bathroom. That economic system of your own body has to be studied in order to learn and understand how the economic system around you works. So, in the beginning was the Word. Well, in the beginning of everything is the Word. You have to come into a conscious thought in order to produce a real action. In order to even produce this radio show, Sister Aziza had to sit there and figure out how to do it. She said, well, this button does this, and if I do it this way, it'll work that way. He learned from that. And now you have a radio show that is broadcast to hundreds of people or even thousands of people, and when they tune in, they get something out of it, and then they move into their lives. In the beginning of it was only the Word, and then the Word became flesh when she began to move on the thought and bring it into action. We have to be living examples of that. I hope I answered your question.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
I tell Chris all the time, I'm waiting on him to, you know, to get at the rostrum. I know he say, you know, he's a peacekeeper. He does all these things. But I'm telling you, brother, I'm telling you, I would love to come and hear you teach to an audience at a mosque someday. I really would love that, because any other time I can't catch up with you. You're all over the place. You got to sit still for me. But I would love to come and hear you teach. Thank you, Brother Chris.
Yes, ma'am. Well, I go anywhere where I'm invited.
Oh, okay. Okay, that was hit, cool for me. Okay. All right. Yep. I'm going to have to get you down here to my 45 and tell Brother Robert to move over for a minute.
Well, I love an invitation, but I don't like to move folk out the way.
He don't mind. He don't mind.
Well, thank you for your time, dear family, and may Allah continue to bless each and every one of you and all of us. And let's get busy and pursue for ourselves. Salaam alaikum.
Wa alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Right. Thank you again, Brother Chris. That's Brother Chris Muhammad. All praise be to Allah. And now, before we get into which is our last question of the evening, just on the previous question, when it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, we have to understand this, that often many of us think that the word, or words are simply those things we see written or those things we see spoken. But at the root of it, the word is defined as anything that transmits, transfers, or imprints an idea into the consciousness. So that means that it doesn't just have to be something we read or something we hear. But indeed, everything we see, smell, taste, any impression we get, those are words. And so it says, in the beginning was the Word, that means that at the root of or the beginning of any thought or idea or action that we take is a word. And the Word is with God, meaning it's with us because we are the temple of the living God. And meaning the Word was God, and actually it should be is God, is because God is that force or that power which brings all things into existence. Now, before we get into the last question, I want to share this with you from the Holy Quran Sharif, Quran of Muhammad Ali translation. Again, same surah, chapter 2. And this is
going to be Ayats or verses 49 to 59. Notice the language. This is God himself speaking. And when we delivered you from Pharaoh's people, who subjected you to severe torment, killing your sons and sparing your women, and in this there was a great trial from your Lord. And when we parted the sea for you, so we saved you and drowned the people of Pharaoh while you saw. And when we appointed a time of 40 nights with Moses, then you took the calf for a god after him, and you were unjust. Then we pardoned you after that, so that you might give thanks. And when we gave Moses the book and the discrimination, that you might walk aright. And when Moses said to his people, O my people, you have surely wronged yourselves by taking the calf for a god. So turn to your Creator penitently and kill your passions that is best for you with your Creator. So he turned to you mercifully. Surely he is the oft returning to mercy, the merciful. And when you said, O Moses, we will not believe in thee till we see Allah manifestly. So the punishment overtook you while you looked on. Then we raised you up after your stupor that you might give thanks. And we made the clouds to give shade over you. And we sent you manna and quails. Eat of the good things that we have given you. And they did not do us any harm, but they wronged their own souls. And when we said, enter this city, then eat from it a plenteous food whence you wish, and enter the gates submissively, and make petition for forgiveness, we will forgive you your wrongs, and increase the reward for those who do good to others. But those who were unjust changed the word which had been spoken to them for another saying. So we sent upon the wrongdoers a pestilence from heaven because they transgressed. Surely Allah speaks the truth. Now, having shared that, one more thing, and this comes from another monumental book by the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad entitled Our Savior Has Arrived. It's on page 56. This is what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad states. He states this: the black man is God. This is a day and a time that you should know God. There are two on the scene at the present time, an evil God and a good God. When we say Allah, that name means God and covers all Muslims. All Muslims are Allah, but we call the supreme Allah the supreme being, and he has a name of his own. This name is Farad Muhammad. And I want to say this. When he says Muslims, understand that a Muslim is one who submits their will to do the will of Allah or the will of God. So that means that regardless of whether you're in the church, you're in the temple, whether you say you believe in a religion or a God or not, if you are an individual who strives to do unto others which you wish done unto you, you're an individual who strives to do that which is right. You know that in your heart, to do the right thing, then you're a Muslim. Don't be confused by names and labels. So, Sister Diatom, at this time, with everything that we've discussed tonight, and again, on our topic, where two or more are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst. With that in mind, what actions must we take to rise above our current circumstances as a people? See, I mean, I know that we got a Jay-Z, we got a Beyonce, and a Nicki Minaj. I'm not particular about these people, but I'm saying these are the individuals who are considered successful. We got LeBron James. You know, we got all these individuals. But as a whole, first of all, foremost, charity begins at home. Black people as a whole are still in the hole. Okay, so we're stuck. That's number one. But then putting it into the broader perspective, people in general are suffering.
So what actions must we take with that thought in mind? Where two or more gathered in my name, there I am in the midst, meaning God is in the midst, meaning he's right there with us. Like you said, he's given us authority by that word. Then what actions must we take to rise above our current circumstances?
Yes, sir. Praise be to Allah. Well, as we know, as the Quran tells us, and I love to quote this all the time, Allah changes not the condition of a people until they first change their own condition. So we have to, number one, be willing to walk out on the words that we say. And I'm starting to look at word now, since all praises to Allah, from this conversation as more than just an adjective or a noun. I'm looking at it as a verb, because in the Quran it tells us when God says a thing, kun fayakun, be, and it is. So his words, when they come out, they become action. So in speaking, we must act upon what we speak. Think about it. When you call, when you fill the world, you call someone's mama out of her name. Okay? What immediately happens? That immediately strikes up, and I'm using strike, a bad reaction. Back to that, again, it's a verb. So we have to be careful at what we speak. That's why the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, speak, think, 5 times before you speak. Because in the Bible it tells us that life and death is in the tongue. So you can
speak life
or you can speak death. As we see in the black community, all we have been speaking to each other, the actions that we see, are death. And if you say something about my mom, man, I look better than her, man, I'm finer than her, and I got this and I got that. We speak negative. So we receive and we react on negative. So when two or more come together, we should be speaking and then putting into action unity, community, family, love, obedience to the will of Allah, growing, lifting, nourishing, giving, helping, loving again, you know, because again, it's all words that we should be exhibiting and or putting into action. So as we come together as a family, we are so quick, and this is one of my biggest hindrances, not just with the nation, with everybody. We as people down and degrade one another to the low existence. We do it even worse when it comes to our children. I said recently that the biggest fear that is in our children, we have placed within them. From our actions, our words that we said to them, we put up roadblocks and boundaries, weaknesses. Someone said something to you and you said, oh, I can't do that. And now it's deeply embedded within your thoughts. Your thought depicts your action. So as we change our way of speaking, our way of thinking, our way of reacting, then Allah will change our condition. All praise is due to Allah. Thank you, sir, for having me on.
Yes, ma'am. All praise is due to Allah. And Queen Aziza.
Yes, sir, I'm right here.
Yes, ma'am. Same question to you. What actions must we take to rise above our current circumstances? You know, we've talked about this at length, you and I. And the bottom line is it's a lot of talking going on. We know there's a lot of TV programs, the minister has the time and what must be done. He's been teaching for years. As we mentioned earlier in the broadcast, we've had all these wonderful teachers and everything. And there's so many blog, talk radio, as well as regular radio programs. Everybody's talking. But if you can, just give us out of your experience some examples of what actions we must take. Not we should, but we must take now to rise above our current circumstances as individuals.
Well, I'm sorry, Brother Kareem. My answer is very short.
Go right ahead.
We must hear and obey. That's it. We must hear and obey. I mean, you know, it's one thing to have these teachings. It's one thing to have all the examples before us. But to have all this knowledge and not apply it, or as you say, not, you know, have practical application of what we know, then it's all null and void. It's like talking to a brick wall. So we have this knowledge. We've been blessed. You know, the Christians have a saying that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Well, my minister Robert in Houston has a saying that God so loved black people that he came for us himself.
That's
in the
right.
Person of Master Farah Muhammad. So if God has come for you, if God has given you a message, has given you a word, has given you a roadmap out of your condition, and you refuse to get up and put one foot in front of the other and walk away from your condition and create the world that he desires and one that you desire, then there's nothing else left to be said or done. Because Allah will bless whom he pleases. Now, we believe wholeheartedly that we are the chosen people of Allah. But if Allah has chosen us, the question is, have we chosen Allah? And that is determined by our actions. So what we have to do is hear and obey, Brother Kareem. We have to get together, pool our resources, and our resources is not money. We are so, so addicted to money. People talk about all the food they want to. You can talk about how to eat to live all you want to. You know, we could talk about how we're addicted to sugar, how we're addicted to this, we're addicted to that. We're addicted to money. But the real resource is our knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. And the real resource is our people. That is our greatest commodity, and that is our greatest power. So it's not about money. When God created the earth, he gave us everything that we need. But what we are addicted to, we're addicted to greenbacks. We are addicted to trinkets. And so that is what we invest ourselves in. That is what we kill each other for over a few paper dollars, not realizing the value of the individual. So it's fine if you go out there and make money, but if you're ignorant and don't know what to do with it, or if you are so selfish that you won't share, that you won't build for the whole, then you have not done anything to please Allah. And if you're not living to please Allah, you're not living. You're merely existing. So that's my answer, Brother Kareem.
Yes, ma'am. All praise is due to Allah. Thank you very, very
and
much.
And Brother Kareem, I don't know if you saw my message. I left your message. Oh, God, he hung up. I was leaving you a message, Brother Eugenio had a question because he wanted to know what could we specifically do with the different ideologies we had that are amongst the people. What could we do to bring our people together? But he hung up, so I guess I took too long.
Okay, well, no, that's no problem, and I want to apologize to Brother Eugenio for us not getting to him quickly enough since he had to go. But I can yet answer the question, you know, from my perspective. And I mean, because that was one of our questions earlier about the various religious ideologies and things. One of the things that we can do, the first thing we need to do, just as you just said, very clear, is hear and obey.
And when I say that, what I'm talking about is from the Bible, and I'm going to paraphrase now because it would take me a minute to look it up. But in the Bible, there is the story of Jesus and his disciples. And basically what happened is, you know, I do modern translation, so y'all have to forgive me. You know, so I mean, and it's not out of no disrespect, but it is what it is. So, you know, you had Jesus, quote-unquote Jesus Christ, you know, JC and his homies. They hanging out, and he taught them, and he trained them, and so he sent them out into the world. And they were out, they said they were out casting out devils and, in other words, performing the quote-unquote miracles. And it came upon an individual who was casting out devils in Jesus' name, but he wasn't in their clique. I'm going to use that language. So Jesus asked them when they came back, what have you been doing? And they told him, oh, man, we was casting out devils and we were healing people. We was, you know, making the blind see you, all the things you taught us how to do. But we ran upon this man who was casting out devils, but we forbid him. We forbid him to do what he was doing because he ain't in the house with us. He ain't in our clique. He don't run with us. And Jesus made the statement and said, forbid him not. For if he is not against us, he is with us. And he talked about the fact that there were sheep, okay, that he had to get to that were not of that fold, meaning not in that particular ideology, not in that particular religion. And the thing that we can do, most assuredly, in order to break down these barriers of ideology and religion, is number one, yes, hear and obey. And hearing and obeying is going, yes, to the word and studying it. And when we study the life of Christ, quote unquote, when we, as Muslims, when we study the life of Muhammad, this is not blasphemy, so don't take it that way. We need to personalize those teachings. We need to personalize those stories. Put ourselves in their place. The instructions that God gave to them, he gave to them for us. So we have to look at it from that standpoint. We have to find the common thread or the common threads that run through all the philosophies, all the ideologies, all the religions. What's the first common thread? The first common thread is the belief in one God or one creator or one force or one mind, however you want to describe it, that produced the entire creation and controls the creation. That's the first thread. The second thread is what we've discussed here tonight repeatedly. I have to begin to treat you, God's creatures, as I desire to be treated. That's the bottom line. There's no other way around it. That's what I have to do. That's the second thread. The third thread is that as I am working on myself, as I am doing the things necessary to help myself, because as I was always taught by my mother, every tub has to stand on its own bottom. As I'm doing the right things, then now by example, I can show you what needs to be done. I mean, I'm a businessman myself. One of the businesses that I have is Amin Holistic Health. Now, in Amin Holistic Health, we have herbal nutritional aids, we have aromatherapy, we have many things. I don't go out and I don't sell these products to people. I don't go out and promote them and push them. What I do is I use the products in my life. Then people see the results. They see the condition of my health. And they ask me, they share with me, I'm suffering from this, I'm going through that. And so by example, now I can share this with them. Yes, these products do cost money. But money is not the issue. The issue is me being an example, as we are taught in Islam. You want for your brother / sister what you want for yourself. So since I desire good health, since I desire happiness, since I desire peace of mind, then I also desire that for you. And in desiring it for you, then I will share with you that which brings it to me. What we've got to do to get past these ideologies, as they're called,
is look at our common ground. We're black. We're poor. Okay. Anything that we can find that brings about a commonality, let's focus on that. As they talk about in 12-step recovery programs, you look for the similarities, not the differences. Then you have a common ground on which to begin to build a foundation to get past these ideologies. So that's very brief, a brief answer, but I hope and pray that that was an answer that will help Brother Eugenio or anyone that's listening. Now, something, the last thing I want to share with everyone comes from a book that I use and study quite frequently, and it is a book called The Book of Sufi Healing. And I will just say this. If you're interested, go look it up and check it out. Now, the particular chapter that I'm going into is entitled The Stations of the Soul. And in here, I just want to read just very briefly some of the information they share. All right. It states here that there are different stations, or just as we as human beings grow up and move through different, or grow into different ages in life, so does our soul, and I'm going to use that term, soul, all right, go through different stages of development in life. Now, the thing about that is that we know from our own experience that all of us are born egotists, or as they describe it here in the book, into the station of egotism, meaning that as a baby, a human child, everything is all about us, me, 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 because of all the creatures that are born onto the planet, the human being is born the most helpless. The human being, pardon me, is born totally dependent on another creature for its survival. And it takes years for us to get beyond that dependence. Some of us never grow beyond that dependence. But what it says here is that we should grow out of that stage of egotism, but the majority of human beings don't. They stay into that stage of egotism well into their adulthood. And that being the case, it says that, let me read this. It says, many people grow into adulthood and even old age without ever departing from the initial stage of egotism, which in Arabic is called the Maqam Anas. And Nas is a word that means appetites. Such people never stop demanding their own way. The endless satisfactions of the body take it to the extreme. The whole range of emotional and physical diseases we call chronic and degenerative is a result of remaining in this station too long. Fearfulness, anxiety, self-doubt, selfishness, insanity, weeping for no reason, depression, paranoia, sexual perversions, and suicide, all are emotional diseases connected with the Maqam Anas. When a person lingers in it into adulthood, the physical diseases associated with the Maqam Anas can sometimes occur concurrently with the emotional or psychological ones. But for the body, the end result of remaining in the station of egotism includes drug abuse, alcoholism, criminal behavior, obesity, hypoglycemia, blindness and other eye problems, jaundice, heart attack, venereal disease, and cancer. These conditions result from the failure to exercise proper control over one or more of the NOS, functions or appetites of the body. And I just wanted to share that small bit of information with you. Like I said, check the book out and see if it has something helpful for you. Queen Aziza.
Yes, sir.
Yes, ma'am. We're down into the last, 6 minutes of the show. I want to do something a little bit different so that while there are everybody's yet on the line, if you would give us the lineup for the rest of the week, then we'll continue on and close out.
Okay, yes, sir. Well, join us tomorrow at 8 p.m. Central with Brother Jihad. He's coming back. We're out on the front line with the Food of Islam. And he has a power-packed panel tomorrow. He's going to have Student Minister Charles Muhammad out of Phoenix, Prison Reform Minister Brother Victor Muhammad out of Detroit, Brother Maurice, Judge Maurice Muhammad out of Birmingham, Alabama, and Prison Minister James Muhammad out of, I think this one it might be out of New York. So join us tomorrow for that. On Wednesday, join us for DJ Black Caesar and Friends at 7 p.m. Central. On Thursday, I'll be back with my special guest, Brother Derek Muhammad out of Houston, Texas, and we're going to be talking about the attitude of Cain. Can't wait to hear that one. And on Friday, join us, Student Minister James Muhammad, our Friday night study group, put on the new man at 8 p.m. Central. On Saturday, join us for Young Gifted in Black. We bring him back old school. We're going to sit back and listen to some old school jams. The youngsters can't take completely over. Old folks still got to step up every now and then. And on Sunday, join us for Economic Development with Brother Vernon Muhammad at 6:30 p.m. on Sunday. And, of course, on Monday, we'll be right back here with you, Brother Kareem. And I'm not going to ask for a sneak peek. I'm just going to ask for a peek of the topic next Monday.
Yes, ma'am. Well, we're going way back, you know, in the way back machine. And we're going to actually present a topic which was given to us by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, I believe it was in 1985. But we're going to delve into it deeply from a personal level, where he gave a lecture at Madison Square Garden, Power at Last Forever. We're going to delve into what that really means, power at last forever.
All right, now. I don't know what's going on, but 1985 has been popping up all day. And something about that lecture analysis, it's been popping up. I just had a brother ask me to send him the footage from a video on a production that he's doing. He asked me about the minister's speech in 1985 at Madison Square Garden. And then this morning, I was doing something, and one of my associates came to me and said, do you remember when Minister Farrakhan spoke in Madison Square Garden? I lived in New York at that time. I said, yes, I do. So I did it like that to let you know it wasn't necessarily one of us, but yeah, that's really weird. It's okay. All praises due to Allah. 1985. Okay.
All right. Well, it must be something because I mean, you know me. I take it as a lot given. So, and I don't believe in those spooks.
Well.
So, yes, ma'am. So
I'm
gonna
tell you. Wait a minute. It say 1985 was what? Wasn't it the year of power when they did 1 and 9 is 10 and 8 and 5 is 14? They did all that and they said, okay, the number ends up being 5 and
right.
It's the number of power. Yeah. It is what it is.
Absolutely. So we're down to the last 1 minute and 2 seconds of our show, and what I want to do is I want to thank everybody who has joined us tonight. I want to thank you, of course, Queen Aziza, as always. I want to thank you, Sister Diatoma, for coming in, coming up to the plate, and being a panelist with us tonight, as always. I want to thank our brother, Brother Chris Muhammad, for his contribution. I want to thank everyone who joined us on the telephone, who joined us in the chat rooms. Everybody, I mean, regardless of whether or not you got a chance to share your question or not, just remember that we are here to provide solutions, not argue with people over their opinions. So please come back and join us every week. As a matter of fact, join us for every program here
on the Nation Building Network. As always, I want to say this. The thought is the act. The act is the fact. Indeed, we all must participate or we all dissipate. Remember, our topic tonight was, where two or more gather together in my name, there I am in the midst. I want to leave you as I came with a greeting from paradise. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Wa alaikum salam.